Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we're going to be talking about learning to find light in the darkness with special guest, Jenny Owens. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I love this conversation with Jenny because so often it's really easy to focus on darkness, to focus on our pain and the things that we're experiencing. So today, Jenny's going to be talking about light, how to sing in the darkness, which is her new book, what it's all about based on Psalms and singing. And Jenny has an award-winning career that encompasses two decades as a singer and songwriter. She's a recording artist, an author, and a speaker. Jenny has released 10 albums, which is so crazy and so fun at the same time. She released her first book in 2014, and she is in her last year to become a Master of Biblical Studies at seminary, which is super fun as well. And we talk a little bit about that in the beginning of the podcast. So Jenny is a great example of how to not let darkness, someone who is blind, to overtake and overpower the light. I am really excited for you to hear this interview with Jenny. And I also want to encourage you that if you want to get the show notes mailed to your inbox right away, make sure you sign up at the link below. I heard from a lot of you, and I heard that you also would love to have them emailed to you. So at the link below, you'll be able to do that. Okay, let's go ahead on and get to the interview. Jenny, I am so excited to be here with you today to talk about light and darkness and your new book. And I was reading your bio, and this is your last year to get your master's for what? Biblical studies at seminary? Tell me about that.
Oh man, it's so much fun. It's so hard, but I've always wanted to go to seminary, partly because I want to teach. I want to help people fall in love with the Bible. And so I felt like, not that you have to go to seminary to do that, but I felt like for me, to have that environment, you know, where you're challenged to sit and study for long periods of time would be a really good thing. So I've actually, really enjoyed it. It's been like drinking from a fire hose for a few years, but it's been amazing. The fun thing about going back to school when you're a little older, I think, is that you take it all in. Like you can't take it all in the way you could when you were 20, but you love it because you're there to learn and you want to take it all in. So it really has been a gift to get to study and learn. And gosh, it's been so much fun. So I still kind of can't believe I went for it and did it because it's a little bit of a crazy idea, but it's so been great. I would highly recommend anyone do it.
So. Yeah. I think we respect it more when we're older, probably.
100%.
Maybe that's the word I'm thinking of. Like we just respect it more.
Yeah. And you value learning. I mean, you just value lots of things as you get older in a way that you can't when you're 20 necessarily, just because when you're 20, it's awesome and life is moving so fast and you're just, you know, doing the next thing. At least that's what I was doing. Yeah. And so it's, you know, school is fun, but hanging out with your friends is also fun and probably way more fun. So going back has been definitely a blessing.
Yeah. And I love that you went back to school and, you know, you're releasing this book now. May 1st, you know, is when the book comes out. Yeah. And for me, I love this idea of dark and light. And for someone that is blind, I think it's easy to focus on darkness, right? How do you get yourself back to that transition to light when your mind or anything comes along that makes you want to go, but look how dark this is? How do we transition to that light?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think for all of us, there are kinds of darkness in the world. You know, there are things that we deal with that I would call darkness. Like for me as a blind person, I actually don't see literal darkness. I actually don't see anything. It's almost like your hand being numb, you know, like you don't feel anything. So for me, it's not that I see darkness, but I will say there are days that the darkness of, like, let's say how I'm perceived by other people and the fact that they that I have to, you know, that I get up in the morning knowing that I need to prove myself in order to do the next things of that day, or I'm going to need to convince someone that I'm capable of doing this thing. You know, there's a certain heaviness to that in life, but for all of us, there's something. I mean, maybe it's having a disability or having a family member that has a disability and you're used to the perceptions of others and that can feel dark. Maybe it's just your own lack of clarity about what happens tomorrow, which we all have that too, because it's not like we can, you know, sit across from God at the coffee shop and talk to him about what's happening. So there's a certain element of darkness for all of us. Yeah. And maybe it's something really serious, like, you know, the heaviness of something like cancer or of a really difficult relationship that we're in day after day after day. And so in this book, which is called Singing in the Dark, I talk a lot about what it means to find hope, even in the midst of that darkness. Because I feel like that is what the Lord has tasked all of us with. And specifically in my own life, I can say that in the midst of the darkness of frustration or the darkness of just people's, you know, misconceptions or whatever, I have had to learn how not to just get through, but how do you get through with joy? And to me, like, singing is very much about getting through with joy, walking through with joy and with hope. The beautiful thing about pursuing light is that it is always possible, and that, you know, especially for those of us who know the Lord, the blessing is that he is always pursuing us and he wants us to pursue him, just as we would any dear friend. You know, we want to know what their advice is. We want to know what their heart is. We want to know how they think. That's what we get to do with God. And I have learned over time that my peace and my contentment and my inner strength grows as I know him. And to know him is so much about, you know, praying, and it's so much about spending time doing that and spending time with other people that reflect him and that sort of share his light in a way that touches my life. But it's also about just pursuing him in the songs of scripture, in the words of scripture, and seeing how he, you know, shows us his light there. And I do feel like, in one of the things I really try to champion in this book is just how we go about that, how we open his word and find his light, and how that light becomes a part of our life.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can relate to darkness in some sense of the word, you know, whether it's what we're going through, our experiences, our troubles, and things like that. And I think for us, it's so easy to focus on that darkness, right? Whatever right. that dark thing is, instead of the light. And we give it a lot of power. Have you noticed that too, of talking with women and working it through yourself, of sometimes we focus on the darkness too much that we actually forget we are the light.
Right.
Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that is an easy place to live. I think especially when you think about where we are in the world today, and it's so easy to kind of feel the heaviness around us. It's so easy to feel also offended at times. It's mm-hmm. and sometimes rightfully so, but it still takes up our whole central vision, right? And so, you know, that is in a certain way darkness. And so we forget, yeah, like even how Jesus said that we are the light of the world. He said he was the light of the world, but he also said we are. Mm-hmm. And he said a city that's set on the hill, that, you know, you can't hide that. Like, so we get that gift. That is one of the beautiful parts of being who we are, mm-hmm. is that we get to radiate to other people. I love to say that each of us is a fold of glory, you know, and mm-hmm. I used to think my story, there would be just this moment in my life when I realized what my story was all about. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but like that there would be this one moment when it would just all make sense. Yeah. And now I've realized it's really in the unfolding details of every day that we're living out our stories that are part of God's bigger story. And so, and as we do that, it's like, what we have to realize is other people are reading our stories all the time. They're watching us, they're reading us, they're following us in many cases. And so everything that we do matters. I mean, if nothing else, we know God is watching us, but there are always eyes on our stories. So are our stories radiating light? You know, that is such a gift that we are empowered with when we have faith in God. And I'm so thankful for that. It's like, no, this is what I get to do. It's not like, okay, you have to go go do this now. It's, I get to go do this. There's an alternative way to live. There's an alternative way to think and to love other people, even when they're not so loving back, or even when I find it difficult, there is a way to go and radiate light and hope into the world.
Yeah, so true. I think it's so powerful in the sense of, you know, when we think about rest and we think about how he prepares the table, right? Or we're at the table, but he takes care of our enemies. And I love that beautiful picture of us just sitting down at the table with him and our enemies are around us and he kind of just takes care of that. And we get to sit in the light and come from this place of rest. And in your book, you talk about a song for rest. Yeah. And you kind of go into a little bit about rest and chaos. And I think those two words are really hard to put together. And I think most of us are like, that sounds great. But can you talk a little bit about the voices or the different voices we often hear and how to discern the true voice of rest?
Yes. So the rest and chaos chapter is about, it's about a psalm. It's about the 23rd psalm, which a lot of people have heard, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, right? And what's really interesting when you think about that is the people that wrote the psalms in the Bibles, the psalm writers in the Bible were very much, they had been through just infinite difficulties and struggles and suffering. And so it's not just a warm, happy psalm of peace or something like that. But David, as he writes this, he knows exactly the suffering that he's speaking of when he says that the Lord is actually his shepherd and guides him into rest. So in other words, it carries a lot of weight because he knows chaos. He's you know, fought battles. He's you know, had enemies that he's faced. He's been on the run. He's suffered. And, you know, and of course, in that day and time, there were diseases and there were, you know, famines and droughts and all kinds of things that we are very blessed for the most part not to have to face now. So there's an element of suffering to life that people just expected. And yet he still says, I can find rest. So I think one of the things that he clearly knew how to do was to trust God above those voices, like to trust God's voice above the noise. So for us, the noise would be different things. The noise would probably be, first and foremost, it's probably our expectations of ourselves, right? Like how we think of ourselves, what we say about ourselves, you know, like, you know, a thing that I often say about myself, if I'm not careful, is just the idea that, gosh, I'm not worthy. I got to make my place in the world because I, you know, I don't really deserve to be here. But we all have those voices. I'm not good enough, you know. And a lot of times, those voices are a reflection of the darkness that we've experienced. So they come from the pain that we feel. So we have these negative voices, but sometimes those voices are from outside of us. Sometimes they're from a person that we're in relationship with. Sometimes they're from social media. Often they're from social media. But even if those voices aren't necessarily bad, they're just so many of them. And they're voices that say, you got to find you inside yourself. You got to find the real you in there. And you're like, how can I? There's so many voices going on. Like, how do I know what is really me? And so for me, there is definitely a rest in knowing that the voice that defines me, one that I want to be the loudest, is a voice that is not my voice. It is a voice that I believe comes from the one who made the universe, the one who created me, the one who connects with me, calls me to be his. And so in that sense, there's a way of really pursuing that voice and listening to it and realizing that voice has to be the loudest in my life. So again, it's kind of that friend analogy of the good friends in our lives, our dearest, closest friends. Those are the ones that we take seriously. And those are the ones whose voices those are the ones we call or text when we need encouragement. And so how much is it the same with God? I mean, and he's always right there. We don't have to call or text him. He is always in our space and ready to offer that encouragement. So I feel like, again, that going to his voice through talking to him, through talking to other people, is super important.
I agree. And I think that something else I was thinking about as you were talking is it matters how the voice speaks to you. Right. Meaning, you know, the voices in your head, is it, you know, condemnation? Is it conviction? Does it lead you to life? Does it lead you to death? You know, in a sense of, does it provide hope, does it not? And I right. think that's an easy place for us to identify, well, what is this voice that's saying? And does it call me to rest? Or does it call me to strive? You know, does it call me to, like you said, which I can relate to, is make this place, you know, make my place in the world. And I have to show up and prove myself. And
right.
you know, another section of your book, you have a subtitle where it's called Hazy Season.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to kind of, what did that look like? And how did you find hope in that? And, you know, talking about sin, our choices, and the Redeemer.
Yeah. So the reason that we have to talk about sin, because we don't like that word in our culture, you know, yeah. we want to talk about something else, like just getting it wrong or whatever. But sin has to be talked about because, well, first of all, as believers, we can't really embrace grace until we realize how far we've fallen. But we all, like everybody, whether someone is a believer in Jesus or not, everyone knows what it feels like to try to manage your outsides and your insides. We know what it feels like to have ugly thoughts about other people. And we know what it feels like to do wrong things that we regret doing. We're like that, you know, and some of us excuse it by saying, well, I'm not as bad as other people, but we all know what it feels like to just be like, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. It was wrong. And so I think the beautiful thing about when we can address that is that we realize, as we study who God is and as we study the gospel, we realize that Christ came to take those things off of our shoulders. So we have to think about sin before we can embrace grace, because when we realize, gosh, I am messed up. And even when I want to do everything right, I still can't do it. And so I love that he says, I want to lift that from you. But for me, there was a season, and I call it the hazy season, because it was a season when my vision, my proverbial vision, was just off in every sense. I was making choices. Some of the choices were simple choices, like I was on the road so much at the time as a musician, and I was in other people's churches, but I was not in my own. I was not connecting with community that could hold me accountable or speak into my life or encourage me in different ways. I was kind of out on my own, and therefore my choices weren't being evaluated. I ended up in a dating relationship that I shouldn't have as a result of not having that, you know, some people saying, hey, what are you doing? You know? So what that looked like for me was then everything in my life kind of just looked skewed. Like I started to kind of find myself saying, yeah, you know, church is really difficult. There's some complicated people in church. I don't have to do that. I don't have to go there. You know, I'm good. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm yeah. listening to sermons.
Been there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing this. But also there was part of me that just was like, you know, and I hear this a lot, like a lot of people can be such hypocrites, you know, not realizing that, hello, what am I doing right now? But a lot of the kind of thoughts are just even not seeing things clearly. Like, just every, you know, things just were kind of, there's a lack of clarity to things. I remember I would feel guilty when I shouldn't feel guilty. I would feel just everything was off about the way I saw the world. And looking back, I realized so much of that was because of the choices that I was making. And those choices were, and again, we know that God is the perfect one, the perfect creator. But again, this, you could liken this to the person you love the most. And when you do things that they don't like, when you do things that are against your better judgment and theirs, naturally it's going to put a wall between you. And so that was what started to happen with God and me. I feel like I was taking matters into my own hands with regard to career. I was sort of carving my own path and not consulting him. And that just led to a lot more confusion because I was kind of on my own way. Mm-hmm. And so it was not a good season. And it took a lot of brokenness. It took me going to people and talking through what had actually happened and, you know, a lot of the wrong choices that I had made and kind of being able to share those honestly. That was the first step to getting free. and getting through the fog. And it took a while, though. I mean, it, you know, because there's always repercussions for making choices like that. So it took a while to come out of the haze. But again, that's one of those things I don't think we can do on our own. We need not only the power of God, but the power of God through people. And, you know, a lot of times the way that we see light is when other people reflect it for us, when we're not even capable of doing that ourselves. And I remember I had a friend, still have that friend. And she just was like, she was the first one to kind of reflect light. And this is something we don't want to do, and we need to do it more for people that we love. She just was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing exactly? You know, this is not going to end well. You know, this is not a good idea. She was so right. But it, you know, nobody had said that to that point. And so even though I knew that, for someone else to call it out made a tremendous difference. And yeah, so that was kind of how it began.
I completely agree. And I think we have to remember that when people come to us, especially like our trusted circle of friends, that they really do probably mean well. I can't tell you how many times that I was dating somebody or doing something before the Lord really got a hold of me. And I had, you know, a couple, like one or two people that were just like you said, what are you doing? This person is not good. Why are you making this decision? And I had such a hard heart that I was like, I don't care what you say.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I was like, I don't see it. So, and we have to really embrace this kind of humility, you know, in this process of being willing to grow and to step into the light, so to speak, so that we can be a light to others. And I think one of the hardest things, and you touched on it, was taking responsibility and for our choices. So I would love for you to just to touch a little bit more on that before we kind of wrap up, because I think that for us, taking responsibility for the choices we make, because it's easy to go, God, why did you do this? And we forget that we actually do get a part of which road we take or which direction we take. And I often say that, you know, God is not the author of sin, so he can't be the author of its consequences either.
Right.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your process when you started taking responsibility and that how that really helped you walk into the light. And then we'll just kind of close with some hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, well, I think one of the blessings is that we do get to come out of darkness, any kind of darkness. God always says there's a way out. And a great way out. And so I just like to think about it from a really big picture point of view. Psalm 51 that David writes about his sin. And we, you know, all these thousands of years later, we're reading about all of David's sin. But one of the things that happens when you take responsibility is that you also then get to take hold of hope, right? So responsibility for David looks like coming and confessing in the form of a psalm that we all get to read. But by the end of that psalm, he's saying, teach me, like create in me a clean heart. Like he's also realizing he can't do it on his own. So responsibility means realizing, oh, I don't make God on my own. Like I don't make a great God of my own life. Yeah, I need someone else to be God. And so there's that. And then there's also just, he wanted to then tell everyone, don't do this. You know, part of taking responsibility is you take on the responsibility of encouraging others, like don't do what I've done, or get out of it if you are. So I feel like I can apply a lot of that to my own life in that to take responsibility, to take that first step is so difficult. And to say, wow, I have ended up in this dark place and I did it to myself. It took me a while to say that at first. I remember the ending of a relationship and the other person ended it. And I just was miserable for months. And it took a long time, even though I knew it wasn't good, it took months for me to be able to say, you know, but you walked right into this and you didn't have to. But that began to be empowering because as the more I was able to take the responsibility, it never becomes, you never are like, wow, I'm so glad that happened. That never happens. Oh, but, and, you know, even to write about it or think about it, I'm like, man, I am sad that that season, you know, happened. And yet I do know that taking responsibility makes me not only aware of my humanness and that I really can't do these things on my own, but also, and I need other people around me to kind of talk me through life and, you know, join with me on the journey. And, you know, like we've said, speak light into situations that I might not be willing to see the light in. So yeah, responsibility means giving up. It means saying I was wrong in a certain sense, but then it also means receiving so much more than you're giving up, because you're receiving grace. You're receiving God meeting you where you are and saying, okay, now we can move on to the next thing. Now we can work on our relationship, because this wall is no longer between us. And so, yeah, so giving up that responsibility was, taking that responsibility was also about giving up the pain and giving up all that had come with bearing it all that time. So it was truly a gift to on the days when I finally learned how to let go of all of that.
So true. I think for me, I know when I stopped blaming and pointing the finger that at other people, you know, well, yeah. It's my life. My life is this way because of you.
Yeah.
And my life really changed just because I was able to then actually begin to heal through what I was going through versus always like, you know, deflecting. Right. So I love how powerful your story is, Jenny. And where can people go to find your book and hear about you?
Yeah, well, you can go to jennyowens.com, which is with the GinnyOwens.com. And all the stuffs are there. If you're on the Facebooks, it's Jenny Owens Music, and Instagram is Jenny Owens Official. So I'm there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Jenny. And I'll make sure to include those links in the show notes below.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this interview with Jenny. I would love for you to go support her, go snag her book up, and go give her a follow. Not to mention, maybe just go listen to some of her beautiful music. And I just want to remind you and encourage you that we are image bearers of God. As image bearers, that means we are light bearers. We get to bring light, speak life, which is light, and help light the path for others when they're in dark seasons, that they may just need help putting one foot in front of the other. Don't forget to come message me on Instagram. I'd love to hear a topic or a conversation that you'd love to hear on the podcast at Jessica Hoddle. And as always, challenge the way you think and you will change the way you live.